Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and sung by Shout Even Shy. Fantastic poem, and even more beautiful as a song. And again, written by Jay Hatter, my big brother, my co-host, who's here with me. And this is Deborah Lee from A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group, poetry group that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And if you are a member there, or if you decide to join, which it's free to do, just click the groups tab and look us up under A Team of Voices, and you'll find us there. We have different topics nightly, and you're welcome to participate if you'd like. And if you would like, you can call in at 1-646-668-2837. Again, 1-646-668-2837. We'd love to hear from you. And if you are in the group, you can click on the chat wall and follow along by clicking on the links that we put there that go with each poem that we play on the show. And tonight we have some really awesome quotes that people got to choose from and pair it with art by the artist known by the letters WLOP. I thought the art was very beautiful and futuristic, so I was anxious to see what people might do with it. So on that note, let's get this show on gear. Ready, Hatter?
I'm ready.
All right. And I have Miss Sky Darkholm here, who I think might have beat me to the studio once I logged in. Hello, Sky, Sky, Sky. Glad you're here.
Hello. Thank you.
And right behind her is the dynamic duo, the owner of A Poetic Slice of Life, and her brawny hubby, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you guys. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb.
And right behind the dynamic duo is none other than Mr. David Prophet. Hello, Dave. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. I'm glad I'm here, too.
And that warm breath right behind you, David, is another one of the amazing board members for A Team of Voices, my sweet pea. Welcome to the show, doll. Glad you're here.
Hello, doll. Hello, doll.
Hey, sweet.
Sweet.
And I am going to mosey on over to my topic board, and I am going to grab the poem that Kay wrote and put it on the chat wall so that she can kick us off. And Kay, as soon as you see that, please take us away.
Okay. I call us the ventrals of the vine. The red haze of mist led through the ashes of smoky gray papers, lit up like a cigarette, an afterglow of dust. Diamond dippers back as a crow con, its cross of switchbacks. Feathers litter in the sky, gently trace in the air. Winter greens of gold liquored ingots, elements. Orient pewter, tinning in the brass of its acid rain, shouldering her. End poem.
Wow, that ending. Wow. Gold lacquered ingot Clements. Ori in pewter, tiny in the brass of its acid rain shouldering her. That's, wow, the ending is pretty potent. Acid rain shouldering her. But right from the get-go, in the red haze of mist, blood through the ashes of smoky gray papers. The thought of blood and ashes, I can picture the down to the swirl of the contrast of the two items. So the imagery there was pretty profound. But I think it was kind of like really cool how you brought in metaphors like lit up like a cigarette in the afterglow of death, and you can picture that. Like my grandfather would have his last cigarette in bed in the dark, and you would just see that cherry red light. So I could picture that light in that part of it, and then pairing it with the afterglow of death is quite wicked. So I thought this is another excellent brevity. And I've said this to your husband many times, but in my opinion, it's way harder to get a 10 when you try to get one from brevity, but apparently not for you. So I see that on your good, bad, and ugly list. Really awesome share. Let me get you some comments. Let me go right to Sky, please.
I thought this was an excellent piece. I love how you bring in the backdrops of colors with the smoky rays. Papers, and of course, using the background of actual paper instead of a background to a picture, which or to a landscape, I thought was a brilliant way to go. And I liked the metaphor of the cigarette afterglow. Or not metaphor, I guess I'm looking for the analogy of the cigarette afterglow. I can see the image, and it fits perfectly there. I really. The end, where the acid rain, you know, she's it's actually shouldering her, because I think that when you line up all those images and then you put that last line in there, it makes the reader think of the message that might be behind it and where they can take it. I thought it was an excellent piece.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about I get a comment? Hold on 1 second. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Just getting some comments for Ms. Kay. David, will you comment for Kay, please?
Did you say me, Deb?
I sure did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you 100%. This was really good. I liked it a lot. I liked the first two lines really well. It sets the kind of the tone for the poem. In the red haze of mist, blood through the ashes of smoky gray papers lit up like a cigarette in the afterglow of death. When we had a lot of wildfires up here a couple of years ago, this poem sort of reminded me of that, the way the sky looked. We had a kind of a silvery cast to it because of all the ash in the air, and then it was this redness that was reflecting off of all of the particulates in the air, and this kind of reminded me of that a little bit. I don't know, I might be way off here, but that's what it reminded me of. I also liked Diamond Dipper's back in the crow's car, and its frost of switchback's feathers littering the sky. I really liked that piece right in there, those lines. That was really good. It was a really, really interesting poem. Amazing for its brevity and its length. Really fine storytelling when you part in two lines, too. So, well done.
Thanks, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Sweet.
I love the imagery and the metaphors in here. Koya's cross of switchback's feather littering the sky. Again, I love the use of wintergreen. It always brings a snap to me. But the tiny king in the brass of its acid rain shouldering her. I just think this is representing a lot of pain and burden that, you know, the character is just carrying on her shoulders. But the rest of it is kind of like, you know, blood through the ashes of smoky gray papers. I try not to use every line, but it's a brevity. You know, the world can look at her and see this, you know, this smoking year kind of thing, but this beautiful woman and she kind of have a melancholy look, but she's beautiful and she's got it all together, you know. But if you really look at, I mean, the acid rain shouldering, maybe she doesn't. But what we see and what she is two very different things. And I thought it was very well done.
Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And Stephen, will you comment for your wife and then tell us what's up and read after that?
I can do that. I like the dark imagery in this, too. And what Deb had said about the cigarette, that's what I pictured, too, when you read it, the cigarette, the glow of the cigarette in the dark. That's a really great analogy to death as well. And also, when I think of the cigarette, I also think of the cigarette-smoking man from The X-Files. Mm-hmm. Whenever he showed up, nothing good was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that this there's very dark images in this, and then I think that your words kind of really bring out a subtle pain that is showering upon one's back. It's very well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Coming up at A Poetic Slice of Life, our next show is Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. It is The Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and we're going to honor all poetry poet John Coe, who recently passed away. So we'll be reading some of John's rights, as well as some rights that we wrote for his wonderful contests that we all miss a lot, I'm sure. That'll be 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Movement of Sound is 9 p.m. on Thursday, and we're featuring Madonna this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to listen to Madonna. We're going to learn about those songs and read some poems inspired by those songs. And then Sci Friday is this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we're looking at the movie Alien Nation, starring James Caan, who recently passed away, and Mandy Patinkin. We have quotes from that movie to write to. Check them out.
Sounds awesome. And if you would hold for half a second, let me let a couple people in before you read, please. I have 907. Hello, Liquid Damage. How you doing, Linda?
Hi, Deb. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am hanging in there, but I'm very glad you're here. And as soon as I pick up the next line.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, you're just in time to hear Stephen read. Let me just grab 11111, which I have to wonder if this is Raconteur. Hello, caller.
Hello. Yeah, it's me. Who's Stephen Reed?
Hey, Rack.
Who's Stephen Reed? I know Stephen King.
Oh, boy. Our comedian is here. Stephen Reed, a poem. But I'm glad you're here. So sit back, and Stephen will entertain. Stephen, please.
All right, well, I saw this picture, and I immediately thought of Guess Who? So, yeah, I'm bringing Randall Flagg to us once more here. Stephen King, my favorite Stephen King villain. And this is called Nadine Stayed Clean for Demon Seed. Upon scratched wood floors of Ouija boards, I bid you to stay pure. Planchette, pencil, paper pierced, pining to be endured. Pandemic dead invade your head, all strewn along your road. Hitch a ride with the guitar on side, closer to my desert abode. Make tracks in the night to leave his sight before digging man penetrates to where boulders die and dowager sighs and reaches stalemate. Touch tottering derm of galled virgin worm, so easy to manipulate. Pipe bomb in the harp rips the drywall apart, council ashes dissipate. Over the cliff side we'll watch him fly, then send bullet through his rueful head. Four horsemen will pay when chief goes astray. The rest will soon envy the dead. On the hot sands we'll meet for our honeymoon sweet. Deflowering monster will assault his queen. A seed so cold in your womb will hold. How I love to love Nadine. End poem.
My, oh my. I'm having so much fun with the art and gifts or Easter eggs or whatever I'm supposed to call them nowadays in between as you were reading, and I kept getting, it's like really awesome. But on the hot sands we'll meet for our honeymoon sweet, the flowering monster will assault his queen. A seed so cold your womb will hold. How I love to love Nadine. That's kind of a mixture of dark humor and a little bit creepy there at the end. I don't know, man. And let me see, go back some. Touch tottering derms of galled virgin worm, so easy to manipulate. Pipe bomb is the harp rips the drywall apart. Council ashes dissipate. I mean, the imagery here is like as crazy as the art itself that you have put through here. The daggers. Oh, I can't even say it. The wagger size. So many. Upon scratched wood floors of Ouija boards. I think that's my first Ouija board poem or words in a poem. I think this is really, really cool. Between your images in your words and the images you've included and the fun feel to the dark humor, it's a really awesome one. And up, just tipped him over that 400 mark to 401 tens. Congratulations on that. I love the poem that you shared for number 400. That was really cool. And I love this poem, too. Fantastic share. Get you some comments.
Thanks, Deb.
Let me go to Raconteur.
Oh, man. Setting aside the poem for a half a second, I had visions of my, you know, speech to text, having nightmares over trying to translate half of what you said, because it would take me probably 3 days just to type the first verse, because, you know, it doesn't get the alliteration and whatnot, and sometimes it just plain ignores words altogether. I can't master this thing. It's insane. It just random words, it like leaves them out, and then I go back and I go very slowly and enunciate, and it still wants to leave it. I'm like, what the hell? So, you know, just the alliteration and poetry rhyming alone was lovely, and you know, the subject matter, once you factor that in, to you know, the great character to write to, and you know, the darkness, and you know, the sarc, well, I won't call it sarcasm, but the view, the point of view of the the action appeals to my sense of humor. So I really enjoyed the whole piece, you know. When you talk about, you know, a villain, you know, and the deflowering and impregnating and all of that, it's just like, you know, It's almost like a box, you know, and here comes left, and there's the uppercut, and then here, body blow, you know, I'm like in the video game, and hearing the knockout punch. It's really cool. I enjoyed that very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Rick. Cool comment.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And how about I get a comment from Linda, please?
Yes. Awesome, right, Stephen? You have done a fine tribute to Randall Flagg, and your electric field imagery was a nice touch. You went down a dark road and came out the other side with a chuckle. I love the ending of this. Very, very cute. But I think you did a very good job. And, yeah, it was just really cool. And I don't know how you do that, where you put the pictures in the middle. I need to learn how to do that someday. But yeah, really great touch to your poem, which was, the rhyming was spot on, and you just did a really good job. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, David?
Well, this was really, really cool. I'm really impressed with your writing strategy here, Stephen. The first couple stanzas are rhymed. There's two words that rhyme in one line there, on every other line in the stanza, which I thought was pretty neat. Kind of Poe-esque, you know. He did a lot of that sort of stuff too. The storyline is really cool. I just, you know, it's I like the let's see, which one was it really start? I like the second stanza here. It says, "Pandemic dead invade your head, all strewn along your road. Hitch a ride with the guitar on the side, closer to my desert abode." that was pretty cool. Pandemic dead invade your head. Yeah, I imagine that line resonates with everybody in the world these days with COVID and all that garbage. Anyway, it was a really well done poem. I enjoyed all of the gifs that were installed in the tricks in between all of the lines. It was an interesting poem, very interesting and well written. Way to go.
Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Oh, I already commented.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sky.
That's okay.
Please.
I was worried that you weren't going to call on me. I'm like, oh, she might be getting the short in covenant. I thought this was an excellent question. I think for people that maybe not don't know the fandom or the movie or the book very well, it's brilliantly written on the side of you don't have to because of the words and how they go. But I also think people that do know the film and know the book well, it's like these little light bulbs going down, like, oh, when you mentioned the second stanza in the pandemic and hitching it a ride, it reminds me of, like, when they're ready to go through the tunnel and she meets up with him, and, of course, and then made tracks in the night to leave his sight, you know, when they're in the tent together and, she, you know, he hits on her and she decides to leave him. In the film, anyway, not in the book. But, like, everything, the way that you describe it, I just thought was awesome. And I could say, oh, but she's talking about this, she's talking about this. But you're doing it in your own way, in a poetical way, in a wonderful way of verse. And I have to echo the ending, because I just kept hearing that, how I love Nadine. I just love how you did it with an infamous quote from him. And you go through this creepy cat and mouse, like, what do they call that when you, a catfish, when you, I feel like you really catfished her. And so, just creepy.
I love
yeah.
The feeling.
What?
Of Nadine, I was just...
Yeah, excellent piece. I thought you said something, Stephen. Excellent piece. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sky.
Awesome comments, everyone. Did I not let anyone comment for Stephen? I think I got everyone, just making sure.
Me.
Sweet. My sweet. Sweet. Will you comment?
I have to comment on Randall Flagg. Randall Flagg is, like, you know, Stan is among my favorite books. I read it probably every 2 years. But Musky deflowered Nadine again in the hot sands of the desert. Can you not at least give her a halfway decent bedroom? I love that whole, the bedroom, the beautiful light, and all she is laying in the dirt. My God, you're the king of souls, the master of the devils, the monster of all monsters, and you still just lay her down in the dirt. Really? I'm just saying, you could do something better. Come on, Randall. No, I really like this. This is great. Good job.
Thanks, sweetie.
Salute the flag.
Fabulous comment, everyone. And Hatter had to go, and Wayne said he will try to call back. So, looks like everyone got to comment. And I am going to get Miss Sky to read for Heavenly Angel, please.
Thank you. This is Paul. Every now and then, I get a little bit lonely, drowning in the inky ocean of blackness and void. My only companions are the distant stars, small specks of sparkling dust. Drenched in my pain again, I bathe in this endless, boundless sea of space, with a shroud of solitude, of loneliness, touching this fragile, cracked shell. We've seen our share of ups and downs, but the night is darker now, and you're never coming round. Your footfalls fade into the nestling silence. In an instant, life can turn around. Now I return to these four empty walls, and silence pervades every corner. I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears, eclipsing a once glowing heart. Saturated with your love, subconscious agony set between the doors of intellect and emotion, gas of gapping darkness coming me to the abyss. End quote.
Excellent read. Thank you. I like how she threaded the quote she chose in there. I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. If I wasn't the one who looked up and added the quote choices, that part would have hit me because you know, I like the song. But turn around, bright eyes. Or was that not? I don't know, but I'm looking at the bottom now, and I'm seeing the Green Day quote. And I mean, the depth here from the total eclipse of the heart. Duh, from the title. I'm getting back together here. All right, now. We've seen our share of ups and downs, but the night is darker now, and you're never coming round. Your footfalls fade into the nestling silence. There's an overwhelming sadness there that I'm not really used to getting from our queen of romance, and just proves that she writes the sadness as every much as she does the uplifting love and light. In an instant, life can turn around. So true. I mean, Gress used to say it all the time on his show. You just never know what's coming next. Make sure the last thing you tell everybody is how you feel about them. And hopefully it's a good thing, just saying. But no, this is an excellent poem, a brilliant use of the quotes, of the art, and the imagery. Fantastic share, Angel. And Sky, you read. Thank you again for that. Will you comment, please?
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I really love this song. It's one of my top songs. So I could definitely see the transitioning. I think I know every line to that song. So I could definitely see the transition where she kind of implemented the line to the song and then transitioned in and out of her own lines, which I to go and kind of reinvent those words, those lines. And I think, too, going a little bit, I mean, the thing about lyrics is that they have to be written a certain way. And for someone like me who tends to be kind of wordy and very metaphorical, lyrics, sometimes they just drive me mental because you've got to bare bone them. And the thing I like about this is that you have the lyrics of the bare bone, but then the transition of a more detailed language of poetry kind of complementing it as well. So I like the little twist that she does, and it was beautiful and filled with emotion. And I think my favorite part was where she said, "Your footfalls fade into the nestling silence." I don't know. I just thought it was a really lovely line. Really well done.
Awesome comment. And Kay, please.
Kay had to step away, but I can comment.
Please do.
Yeah, I like this a lot too. I had to start my comment with the words "turn around" because you know. Totally Eclipse of the Heart. What a great song. And I thought that this was a brilliant write to that song because it's filled with just as much emotion. And I thought it was very cool the way she wove the lyrics in with her words, too. Very well done.
Absolute. Awesome comment. Thank you. And thanks for hanging out. And thank Kay for me, too. And if not before, I'll see you guys on Wednesday unless we run into each other at Sweet Show. Love and respect.
Love and respect.
Okay, how about I get a comment from David for Angel, please? David, are you muted?
Yes. Sorry. To me, this one... to me, this one reminds me of someone that's reflecting on a past incident that happened to them. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely, drowning in an inky ocean of blackness and void. My only companions are distant stars, small specks of sparkling dust. You know, anybody that's ever suffered from any kind of a depression, there's definitely a blackness that is associated with it. And I know I have, and it's no fun to deal with. A lot of, depression can be brought on by a lot of different things. Losing somebody that you really care for is one way to do it. The poem definitely has a lot of sorrow written into it and regret, maybe. I don't know. I think it's beautiful the way she put this. She's got a real handle on expressing herself and conveying what she's trying to get across very well to her readers. And This is a beautiful poem, and one of the best that I've heard from her. So, well done, Angel.
Awesome comment. And Linda, while I get your poem, will you please comment for Angel?
Yeah, it's like, wow, Angel, this was an amazing piece. Excellent read to Sky as well. The intensity of pain in a lonely room is magnified by the darkness. And I like what David said about the first verse. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely, drowning in an inky ocean of blackness and void. The darkness makes anybody feel lonely. And it almost depicts loneliness in itself. And I like my only companions are the distant stars. I like anything about the stars, so she got me right there. And, you know, anything with suns, moons, and stars, and I'm gone. But she did a lovely job writing this. The imagery was so nice, and I really enjoyed this piece. So thank you, Angel, for sharing it. It was lovely.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you so much. And Linda, yours is on the board.
Let me refresh. There we go. Okay, this piece is called Reawakened. One, torrid screams of anguish echoes off the bebouldered walls. I cry out for you, my master. I shall pray you hear my calls. I can't take it any longer, the torture and the pain. If it goes on for much longer, I will surely go insane. Oh, where art thou, my master? Will my true love come for me and deliver me from the depths of hell? Oh, I'm crying out for thee. Two, break my chains and don't look back. Asmodeus seeks my trail. His demons grasp at our heels, and he smiles at his assail. He sees our hearts lacking spirit. He sees our love is only lust. So he will kill what spirits in us and punish us. He surely must. Oh, where art thou, my master? Will my true love come for me and deliver me from the depths of hell? Oh, I'm crying out for thee. Three, he's a demon who rules many, but bows to Satan first. He takes your love and kills it, then fills with lust his thirst. He's decided I'm his true love, but another holds the key to my heart and soul and spirit, and that one is thee. Oh, where art thou, my master? Will my true love come for me and deliver me from the depths of hell? Oh, I'm crying out to thee. Four, now you've come and fight great battles, and my freedom you have won. Now our love can live forever when all is said and done. You tore the chains that bound me. You smashed the locks that had no key. Then you took me in your arms. Now my true love's back with me. Now my master has arisen from the hell below the earth and conquered Asmodeus. Now our love will be rebirthed. As we cleanse ourselves, as we cleanse ourselves of darkness and free ourselves from pain, oh, my true love, hold me closer, and we will rise up in the rain. You have saved me from this demon. Now your light shines down on me. I reawaken from hell's journey to share my love with only thee. End poem.
Wow. Okay, before I comment on a poem, I have to admit, I wondered when you chose this and she's being carried if maybe this was going to have something to do with you and your hip and your recovery and the hubby. But that would have been awesome. But this, it's got the feel of a folklore, of a tale carried and shared through generations. And then stuff like Break My Chain and Don't Look Back, or He Sees Our Hearts Lacking Spirit. He sees our love as only lust. So He will kill what's spirit in us and punish us. He surely must. I've said this before, but you have such a way with the rhyme and the flow, and you read with the feeling that pulls us in to your words. Oh, where art thou, my master? With my true love, come for me and deliver me from the depths of hell. I'm crying to thee. And I mean, geez, there's skeletal people trying to grab her as he's pulling her through. So, I mean, like, epic details that bring life to the art. Brilliant, as always.
Thank you, Deb.
Wow. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to Rack and Four, please.
Great job, Linda. I mean, the story is really cool. You know, first you start off with the longing and the dismay of being like in hell without the person that you love, and then they come along and then they save you. So it's got all the elements of a fairy tale. So that was wonderful. And you know, you tell the story in a great way. You know, you follow along and you know, the breaking of the chains, all the expressions that you use. I want to say, you know, classic emotions. So you take us on a little bit of a ride with that as well. So, you know, you got all that packed in there in a great way. It's a nice piece.
Well, thank you, Ed. Yeah, you know, I should have put it in the author's note. Asmodeus was the demon that ruled the second level of hell, which is lust. And he had many minions under him that would keep his victims down in second hell, and that was the footnote for Asmodeus. He's an actual listed demon of second hell.
Yeah, I recognize. I think I heard it pronounced Asmodeus, but I knew who you were talking about.
He went by many names. Yeah, you could be right, but this one fit, so he had the right number of syllables.
Yeah.
That's the judge at the end sometimes. I do that too. Awesome comment for an awesome poem. My sweet, what you think?
Well, I actually thought this was prayer-like, almost a sermon waiting to be told. I think this is a beautiful poem. I could actually read it when I'm doubting my faith or doubting my faith in myself, that there's always that person that can come and carry me out of that, to help me believe in who I am, to believe in a greater faith in myself. You know, I really thought this was beauty from the heart, and, you know, to thank you for being that soul that you are, to remind us that, you know, regardless what level of hell we are personally, that there's always that faith, that love that can be brought to us and bring us back to that moment that we know we're worth something. It's very deep and very personal.
Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comment. And David, while I get your poem, will you comment for Linda, please?
Yeah, I will. I really like this, Linda. It kind of reminded me of something that Donnie would write, you know. I'm trying to put my finger on the name of that poem. He did a really long, really long one, and I can't think of the name of it. Save My Soul. But anyway, this one kind of reminded me of that, and I love the rhyme and meter in this. It's got Linda all over it once again. Imagine that. Anyhow, it's a beautiful story. It really is. It's classical. in its telling. And boy, this one really is got a hold of me. And I thought you did the prompt a lot of justice by your poetry and the way you read it and the storyline in the poem. So way to go.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome, thanks, sweetie.
Awesome comment. And your poem is on the board.
Okie dokie. Well, when I saw this one, it appealed to me, but I didn't know what I was going to do with it. So I've got a couple other poems that are similar to this. And so I kind of wove those into the fabric of this one. This one's called Mermaid's Pianist in the Key of Z Sharp. And I know. And this one, my chosen quote was, "Don't tell me what you think that I could be. I'm the one at the sail. I'm the master of my sea." And that was by Imagine Dragons. She's the one on the bottom looking up. Great whites and kelp beds, measuring cup. Aquamarine columns of amethyst scup glide past her Poseidon's grand piano. She plays rumbas for sharks in Z-sharp. Things sound differently at 20 fathoms. Chrome bubbles escape in twisted columns, desperately seeking a reunion with the wave. Her sea-green eyes backlit in pressurized gold iris. She'll deep-six your heart with glimpses of Osiris. She's a calm before the storm, or the storm is hers, just depends. If the tide is coming in, or going out, in between or round about. She has a calming effect on the creatures of the sea, alien intellect a bit too complex to comprehend the shark bolero's banshee. Her notes from the crystalline purple piano in its swirling brine summons the sharks around her. They swim, those great whites, her particular whim. Oh, my precious great whites, rid the sea of the alien blight. Poking and prodding our family, send them to the bottom of the deep blue sea, get them out of my sight. The key of Z-sharp was dissonant to the grays, or their hearing was too sensitive within their ways. Things sound differently at 20 fathoms, especially under the waves. The sharks bite their large heads off and chewed off their tiny feet. They fell to the bottom, cast off, and only the sharks hear their gurgling bleat. A yellow ichor fouled the waves around the alien ship, unfit for the burial even of dead pirates' daughters. If you stand all alone by yourself at the sea, you can hear her piano playing in the key of Z. Things sound differently at 20 fathoms, you see. End quote.
Very cool. David, I don't know. Okay, I was very surprised by your choice because I didn't see, like, maybe an alien or something. So I'm very, very surprised at the choice and that there are sharks here. Pleasantly surprised. I think this is really cool. Her sea-green eyes backlit its pressurized gold iris. She'll deep six your heart with glimpses of Osiris. She's the calm before the storm. I love that stanza from the green eyes to the calm before the storm. But the deep six your heart, spot on, perfect metaphor there. Her notes from the crystalline purple piano and the swirling brine summons the sharks around her. They swim, those great whites, her particular whim. I love that she calls them and they swim for her. Down the bottom, if you stand all alone by yourself at the sea, you can hear her piano playing in the key of Z. It's like a full circle coming from the title down to that, but with a little extra flair, because you got to wonder, do you hear her? And the key of Z, is there a key of Z? part of my stupidity?
No, ma'am.
Okay, I didn't think
no.
so. So it would be like a only the sharks could hear
You're
it
cute,
type of
Deb.
Thing, possibly. Dave, I really think this is cool. Like I said, it was a very surprising approach, but I love where you took it. The fact that she's playing for them, that she's guiding them and commanding them. And again, I say that full circle deal is really awesome. Fabulous share.
Thank you,
Sky, what you think?
I said it was excellent piece. The storytelling, always wonderful. I love that picture. It was a great picks on all the pictures, actually, Deb. I really enjoyed looking at them. I love how you go through the story. You know, she has a calming effect on the creatures of the sea, alien intellect, a bit too complex. And I like that because it's just, I don't know why, but I've just been really thinking about, if you've ever seen the movie The Abyss, so I'm just kind of thinking about these. And I'm always saying that, too. I'm like, we're so worried about going to the moon. There could be aliens, you know, so I don't, that just tickled me, that part. I mean, you may have not been that sci-fi crazy writing it, but that's what it just reminded me of. And I love the musical aspect. Music and water are two of my favorite things, besides obviously books. But music and water are very close up on there in my top five. And so this medley of storytelling and all these, I like how you bring in the creatures, the great white whale, of course, and then the sharks. I loved it. I loved all the musical aspects and all the creatures of the ocean that you encompass. So if anybody's ever been over on my random down the tube show, they know I like the water.
Thank you, Sky. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Dave. What an awesome little write. The battle between alien and mermaid is so clever. And I love how you use the key of Z. That's so imaginative. But for the mermaid using the great white to attack her enemy was a brilliant move. We know the shark's brain is complex, and using that musical note to control them is just a wonderful part of this poem. But great right, David. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment, raconteur.
It makes me think you got some seaweed in your brain, Dave. I really like this.
I do.
The nautical references and the way you kind of wove the story, the idea, you have some mythology, you know, in this that is almost inescapable because, you know, they talk about sailors and sirens being, you know, pulled into the ocean. So to flip that around and have the mermaids calling the sharks, is like, you know, that's really clever and just, you know, added on to the story. And then you little Easter eggs dropping, you know, like God, Egyptian God of Osiris and things like that in there, just, you know, keeping the interest going and you know, adding layer upon layer to this. So there's a lot of different directions that you went that just made this very, very interesting. And you know, I keep saying layered because there's a lot of layers, you know, so I appreciated it. This is really good.
Thank you. Thank you, Rack.
Fantastic comment. And my sweet, will you please comment for David and then read your poem for us?
I sure will. First off, I thought this was fabulous. I also love water and music. I really enjoyed the poem. I thought the metaphors were spot on between both. And it was funny and perfect because it had that David punch. The yellow ichor fouled the waters around the alien ship, unfit for the burial even of the dead pirate's daughter. I mean, you have all of those great, you know, aliens still are here, and 20 leagues of the sea are here, and yeah, you've got this beautiful little mermaid jamming out on the piano. So I just think you have everything here. And it was just a beautiful little poem, and I like the choices here. Beautiful women, aliens, icky water, and great whites. What more can you ask for?
Thanks, sweet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, everyone. And thank you, David. And my sweet, take it away.
Okay. You see, this is Watcher. And I got to say, this was a little thank you to Skye because she taught me how to write these kind of characters. Rock the great silence as the ravens call the spirits home. Hush the children as wheat stalks fall, the sound of footsteps. Hold hands with terror and do not let him scream. Flame to the red dragon caressed her shoulders, eyes in shades of cobalt and silver, startled strangers, and magnolias bloomed when she whispered her name. Guardian or enemy, she stands in the shadows of the gray, between worlds of wild flower gardens, fine wines and gentlemen, and beards soaked in sour whiskey on broken mahogany bar stools. The sounds of slaughter rang in her ears, her eyes bled in fear. Skeletons of the starving pulverized to dust from the flapping wings of an arvacious red dragon craving gold and the supremacy of kings. Cowardice muted in her bone marrow, she rose to the night. Hidden in the skin of ivory, the claws of a bear began the fight. Shapeshifter and mad drifter between the lines, she rescued all. End poem.
Sweet, between
wow.
Your voice, yeah, between your voice and this story, my goodness, rock the babes silent as the ravens call the spirits home. I like that play on words there, call the spirits home rather than call. Hush the children as wheat stalks fall to the sound of footsteps. Hold hands with terror and do not let him scream. Man, just from that stanza right there, mm-hmm. It was like you set the tone and then you never disappoint. Flames of red. Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone. Guardians or enemy, she stands in the shadows of the gray, between worlds of wildflower gardens, fine wines and gentlemen, and beards soaked in sour whiskey on broken mahogany bar stools. And the image there even is like, you know, classic. She looks around and, you know, where's the hot studs, or is it all bearded, soaked in whiskey, scruffs. So the image all through is amazing. And then cowardice muted in the bone marrow, she rose to the night. Talk about expressing bravery with brilliance there. I your details are awesome. But like I said, between your words and your details and that voice that... I don't know how your husband stands a chance when you really want to turn on the charm. Just saying. But amazing share. Right? She's melted me here. And you know,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, great job. And let me get a comment from Skye, please.
I thought this was excellent. So if anybody knows anything about smog, dragons are greedy little buggers. So I love you know, the penultimate stanza there when you bring in a dragon craving the gold and hoarding it. And if you're going to bring up Tolkien, you have to bring up Dungeons and Dragons. And I think that you've just created a story. You've created a gameplay. I mean, because you've got, I feel like you've got the ranger, you've got the warden with the guardian and the enemy, and you've got this whole scene happening. All you need is some dice and some lined paper, and you're good to go. I think you've successfully managed to just, you know, kill the D&D character, right? But I love the character development. I thought you did a really good job with that. I like how you bring not only her physical attributes and emotive, but in kind of scenery, but you also bring in the entire, I think Deb mentioned this tavern type place. And speaking of the, you know, you can say, oh, they had beards, and there are a lot of bar fights, but you don't say that. You bring it into the description. You're like, beard soaked with sour whiskey. I really liked that part. And in the broken mahogany bar stools, thinking about all these brutes. I mean, you know, you've got the you've got the brutes in there kind of going, and the barbarian race is going in there beating up the tavern. So I like how you bring in that, too. You bring in a lot of stuff, and it's very I mean, when you think about a write like this, it's very short, but it's very compact. You did a wonderful job. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment. And before I get another comment for Sweet, I know you have to go, Sky. Would you like to tell us what's happening on Saturday before you leave?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Just real quick, storyboard. We're going to be celebrating. I need a break from Star Wars, so Star Wars will be coming back after the holidays. But Sky needs a break. So we're doing, if you've ever seen Short Circuit, we're doing a double feature, Short Circuit, right to any of the themes, characters, quotes. And remember, if you've never seen Short Circuit, if you pick a quote, you don't have to write about the topic. And if you write about a robot, you don't have to write about the topic. So do whatever you want to do. Just bring me a poem and show up, and we'll read it, and I'll enjoy it. It's on an 8.
Awesome.
That's that.
I'm so glad you were able to call and hang out, Sky. Thank you much. Love and respect. And the next person to comment for Miss Sweet P and her brilliance is Raconteur, please.
You did an excellent character right here. I'm guessing you've never played Dungeons and Dragons, but you know the way the game kind of unfolds. You could have like been sitting there taking notes to one of the melee rounds, as they call them. You know, you've got everything. You've got the dragon and the bar, and you know, you have to have beards because they don't have time to actually shave, you know? So that makes total sense, no matter what type of character you're talking about, you know? This is before razors, so, you know, to come across somebody clean-shaven is kind of suspicious. I love all the detail on this, you know, the wooden bar stools and you know, the way that the whiskey stays in the beard, you know, because, you know, people were slobs and they always had that dribbling, you know, whatever, because they were pouring stuff down their throats trying to get it so fast, you know, to drink it fast so that they could get another one and scream and, you know, get back to whatever. This is great. But the details too, for the star of the show, the dragon itself, you know, was wonderful. You had like elements of Game of Thrones in it, and you know, I could definitely picture, you know, Daenerys and whatnot as you know, a minor piece of this as well. So I mean, all of this. And like Sky mentioned too, dragons aren't stupid. You know, they're very, you know, they have high intelligence. So, you know, the fact that they hoard the treasure and stuff like that, and you could actually talk to them, you kind of hinted that a little bit with the grabbing of the gold and whatnot. It's really, really wonderful. You did an amazing job with this.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And, David, would you like to comment for Sweet?
Oh, boy, would I. I love this. This reminded me of something that Black Sabbath would do. It's a rock song disguised in poetry. It certainly is. I mean, the very first stanza, "Rock the babe silent as a raven's caw, the spirit's home. Hush the children as wheat stalks fall to the sound of footsteps. Hold hands with terror and do not let him scream." This was one of your most powerful poems that I've ever heard you write. I just loved every bit of it. It was really great. And Black Sabbath did an album called Tear, and I would love it reminds me so much of the mythological stuff that was on that particular album, and this would fit on that just really, really well. About the guardian or angel, an enemy, she stands in the shadows of the grave between worlds of wildflowers, gardens, fine wines, and gentlemen, and beards soaked in sour whiskey or broken mahogany bar stools. That last line on broken mahogany bar stools, that sort of, to me anyway, it sort of pulls us back into the 21st century from the impression that I got of the time period that this represents. I don't know. That's just the way what I took from it, but it sort of time shifts, right? You know, with those two words there, and I thought that was really well done and strategically installed where it should have been. Really, really a good poem. I can't say enough good about this. It's really, really well done, Pam.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, and.
Hello?
I think she met you, Linda. I think her phones are, she's got to switch phones.
I'm sorry. It cut out on me. Linda, please comment for Sweet.
Yes. This was frightening, Sweet. Unlike you. You carved out a perfect character to be your savior. And I liked that in the beginning, she was kind of on the dark side, but turned out to be the savior and rescuer of all. Your imagery was delicious and dark, and your story was very well planned out. For as short as it was, you had distinct idea and you portrayed it well. And that line, beard-soaked in sour whiskey on broken mahogany bar stools, that broken bar stool thing can represent any down in the dredge bar, because if you've gone into bars, which I'm sure we all have, but like the bars I used to go into, everyone had a stack of broken bar stools somewhere in the bar, and you just can remember who was the one that was fighting when that bar stool got broken. But it shows the definition between the goodness and the dark. So that was very well planned out. But yeah, I really liked it too. You did a really great job. Thanks for sharing it, Sweet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Fabulous comments, everyone. Thank you so much. So just so you know, we have 4 recordings left, and then we'll be done for the night. So on that note, my Sweet, will you tell us about tomorrow before we do Frank's poem?
Yes, actually, tomorrow's going to represent pretty much the month of August for me. Yesterday represents the second year of my cow heart, so I'm very excited. Yesterday has been 2 whole years. Yes. And so I wanted, I'm doing very well. And so I thought I'd start the month of August dealing with all things cows. And so we started off in the West as, do you want to be a cow boy? So that's what tomorrow is about. I've got some pictures up there, and you can be inspired them or write anything about the Wild Wild West about, you know, being a cowboy. The rest of the month is going to kind of look like lyrics maybe with cows in them, roping, riding, herding, things like that.
We made you just a show about cows, different types of cows, where cows come from. And then maybe a show about, you know, I've just got cow themes coming up the month of August to celebrate 2 years. So look for all things cows this month coming from Snoopy.
Sounds like
hey,
that.
Deb.
Yeah.
Can I announce my shows?
Please do.
Friday the 12th, I believe, on A Team of Voices at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I have a show, and I am inviting you all to come. We have a lot of fun and do stupid stuff. So please come. And then the 20th at La Cosa Nostra, I have a show as well. It's both open poetry. And we do more stupid stuff there. So come and do some stupid stuff with us.
It sounds like some stupid fun.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And while we're on a roll, just one other thing. On Thursday night, we have a show with Pretty Bird. It's her monthly show. And her topic says, love changes everything. Love sick, punch drunk, addiction. There is no better euphoria than love. Perhaps the perception of love is all one needs to hope that temporary bliss will bleed into happily ever after. For the greater good or to our own detriment, love changes everything. So wherever that, whatever
true.
That just put in your mind, that's what Pretty Bird wants to hear about. And that's Thursday night. Now, if you guys would look on the chat wall, you'll see the art that Frank chose. And then right under that is his link, and I will push his recording.
For centuries, I have guarded you from the distant amber horizon faithfully, as a sable shuttle of the night under the gleaming crescent moon, watching you grow in the metal of two clovers, ivory jasmines, and mauve violets. Your buttercup curls sparkle under a periwinkle sky, enriched with the smell of blueberries. In the ebony darkness I fly high above the topaz starlight, longing to appear before you as a luminous, pearly glow. Sing to you the musical notes from my gold harmonic harp, resounding, let the silver strings play the dulcet tone are my whistling whispers. You wait to see me streaking across the vast sphere of the universe, and you call out my name and seek me with the beating of your heart. I am guided by the radiance of your aquamarine eyes, gliding through the foam of puffy clouds to reach you amongst the flamingos. I wash your wild tears as you hold me in your warm embrace, as I emerge from the darkness like a sable shadow with my blackberry wings. To die within the serenity of your comforting arms, as I fade away, taking my last, final breath before the beauty of your ginger flesh. end of them.
My, oh my. My goodness, friends, between the tone of your voice and the details here, you really, really brought life to the art. The vivid descriptions, like I am guided by the radiance of your aquamarine eyes. But that last stanza really grabbed me, to die within the serenity of your comforting arms as I fade away, taking my last final breath before the beauty of your ginger flesh. It's like it's a declaration that at the end, all I need is to be there with you in your arms as I fade away, and all is right with the world. It's such an incredible piece. And then, like I said, you're such a strong reader that you pull us in, keep us there, and then the tones fit the mood. I really think this came out fabulous, and I'm going to have to save it. You totally, totally did justice to the art. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to the storyteller male in the room, Mr. Dave.
This was a good one, Frank. You did good on this. I liked it. It was very interesting. And it had a classical ring to it as well, I think. At least for me, it did. The metaphors were really well done, and the way you used them, it added a lot to the poem. It's very picturesque, and it was dark, but in a real acceptable kind of a way. I don't know. I mean, it was the amount of darkness that the poem contained was not overbearing or overpowering. It added a lot to the atmosphere of the poem, I guess. Anyway, it was a good poem. I liked it. Very well done.
Matt and Linda?
Oh, my goodness. That was brilliant. Very strong. And it just rocked. I love the change in your diction, Frank. It was much softer and with much love, and it made the piece come off like totally from your heart. But the that last verse, my God, to die within the serenity of your comforting arms as I fade away, taking my last final breath before the beauty of your ginger flesh. That is just stunning. The imagery in this all the way through was beautifully, beautifully done. So full of color. And I like that. Watching you grow in the meadow of teal clovers, ivory, jasmine, and mauve violets, your buttercup's curls sparkle under a periwinkle sky, enriched with the smell of blueberries. All these colors, and I could smell the blueberries and the violets, just so intense. You've got a good one here, Frank. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much. Okay, now it is just you, David, and me, Linda. And we have three recordings. So I put Phil's on the board, and I also included the art that he wrote to. So if you click on that link, I shall push play.
Okay, wait a minute.
It's a poem by Phil the Poet.
No problem. I stopped it. Tell me when you're ready, doll.
Where'd it go? Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry about that.
Not a problem at all. Here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called a final farewell to a good night. Her hands melted like butter on his olive skin, blushes when he places a kiss upon her chin. Just for a moment she is covered in marigold, defenseless before her naked knight so bold. He's transformed the lilac sheets into armor, while her rose cheeks pale at this tragic drama. For tomorrow he will stand among the thistle, fighting for his king and all that is beneficial. He struts like a steel peacock under her gaze. Light from a candle casts a shadow, then fades. An omen, she thinks, with tears and sapphire eyes. But the brave knight is ignorant of her deep sighs. For his eyes are like flames, hungry for the hunt. Morning has come, time to ride to the battlefront. Her strawberry blonde hair brushes against him, against the coldness of his shining titanium skin. He rides off into the woods on a vanilla mare, leaving her clutching memory of a lover's affair, a pearl necklace with terracotta broken dreams, sadly floating down the scarlet lake streams. End poem.
Wow. You know, I know, yep. I say this every time we get done listening to him read, but I love his reading voice. His pronunciation. He's another person that helps to prove the point that poems are 1,000 times better when you hear the poet read them. The detail that he has here, from like he struts like a steel peacock under her gaze, light from a candle casts a shadow, then fades. The visuals there are fabulous. And eyes are like flames, hungry for the hunt. Morning has come, time to ride to the battlefront. So let's go back with the feeling there, because now going off to the battlefront. And at the end, he rides off into the woods on the vanilla mare, leaving her clutching a memory of a lover's affair, I love it. It's sad and beautiful, all rolled into one. And if you look at the art on the board there, it's just his right for it is absolutely perfect. The storyline, it's the total package. So amazing share. Appreciated very much, Phil. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments. And I will go to Linda first this time.
Yeah, you're right about Phil and his reading voice. It's very calming and soothing, and he did well with this one. It was so lovely and full of heart and soul. Just the depth of passion is just flowing through this beautiful piece. I love Phil's work, and it seems like he just gets better every week when I hear his stuff. But there were so many good lines in this poem. For his eyes are like flames, hungry for the hunt. Morning has come to ride to the battlefront. Her strawberry blonde hair brushes against him, against the coldness of a shining titanium skin. What a brilliant verse that is. And it shows such strength and passion there. So, Phil, you did a lovely job on this. Thank you for sharing.
Your heart. And David?
Yeah, I like all of Phil's work too. This one is really describes the two individuals in there very well. You can't help but like both of them. You know, the way he describes this night is right to a T, and then her as well. He rides off into the woods on a vanilla mare, leaving her clutching a memory of a lover's affair. That's pretty telling right there. A pearl necklace with terracotta broken dreams silently floating down on the scarlet lace streams. That's interesting. They put the pearl necklace part in there. But he has transformed the lilac sheets into armor while rose cheeks pale at his tragic drama. For tomorrow he will stand among the thistles fighting for his king and all that is beneficial. It's really, really a scenic piece, you know, and the descriptions in here are top-notch. I think he did a great job on this. Of course, his reading is good, too.
Fabulous comment, Dave. Thank you very much, both of you. And second to the last poem is by WSP, who also reads. So if you guys click on his link on the board, tell me that you're there, and I shall push play.
I got it.
Ready, David?
Okay, yeah, I got it now.
Here we go.
This is WSP reading the poem, Mice and Their Flowers, written by WSP. Young professionals in a dog-eat-dog world, hopefulness and naivete soon learn, like a child not knowing how to make food, yet they know of hunger, their stomachs yearn. Duty to family and our loved ones, body is molded to carry the sword. Are we the brave mice of noble Redwall, or are we Clooney's salivating horde? The more we learn how to climb corporate, the faster we seem to be in decline. The mazes and races constantly distract from wondering if the others are fine. After years of systematic training, my thick, ironclad shell is what was forged. One day, I shall be like dear, sweet Lenny, soon to be taken to the farm by George. We are all mice in this experiment. Bring me flowers, for I am Algernon.
Oh. Wow. But that's an excellent brevity there. Really impressive. I was trying to add his art to the board for everyone, and it's giving me a hard time doing it as we speak here. And then I will comment on his amazing poem. All right, it's not doing what I want, so how about I comment on his amazing poem and then I'll figure out why. Okay. Mice and Their Flowers. Young professionals in a dog-eat-dog world, hopefulness and naivete soon learn. Like a child not knowing how to make food, yet they know of hunger. Their stomachs yearn. The description, the thought of that child who can't make the food but knows what that hunger is actually quite brilliant, and I can't wait for you guys to see the art that goes with it. Duty to family and our loved ones. Our body is molded to carry the sword. There's a sense of duty and honor in that part there. And towards the end, after years of systematic training, my thick ironclad shell is what was forged. One day, I shall be like dear, sweet Lenny, soon to be taken to the farm by George. I instantly got the mice and men feel from that because of George taken to the farm and made me think of the bunny. And so a lot of different emotions just went crazy in my mind as I was reading. And I think that he did an excellent job with it. And I really appreciate the fact that he recorded it as well. Thank you, WSP, for the poem, for the recording, and for participating in the shows. I'm really glad you're back. Keep them coming. Thank you. And let me get you some comments. David, you want to go first this time?
Sure. We forget, or maybe we don't even understand what some of these corporate professionals have to go through, when they're at work, and you know how to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. It's really not a very nice place to be. You know, I wouldn't work there. I mean, I just couldn't do it. But he describes this pretty well. And I'm not going to take this thing apart and nuts and bolts and stuff because I think there's parts of it that I'm missing. But I think it's an interesting poem. I like the way it was presented. And you could tell that he put a lot of work into this. Seems that he does anyway from some of the other stuff that I've read of his.
And Linda?
Yeah, this was a really cool one. I love the reference to Lenny and George of Mice and Men. What a great, great story. And the last one, too, Flowers for Algernon, one of my favorite books. I read it when I was about 12 and cried and cried and cried at the end. His poem is very emotionally driven and I really liked it. It had a lot of good stuff in it, but I like what David said about the corporate thing. We don't know what goes on, but if you were there, I would assume, and you're climbing it, in this day and age, you would be in fast decline. The maze and races constantly distract from wondering if the others are fine. Great, great verse, but he really put some soul into this piece. So thank you, WSP, for sharing your poem. I really liked it.
Awesome comment, both of you. And I did get it to load for me, so if you take a quick look at the chat wall, you will see the art that he wrote to, that he just brought to life before our eyes. And while you're there, you can go ahead and click on our last poem, which I saved for last just in case Wayne was able to call back, but he couldn't, but we do have a recording, so we will hear it in his voice. So if you guys just tell me when you see that, I'll push play.
Okay.
All right. Here comes the one and only Wayne Dent.
This poem is called Poems Last Stand. Words as weapons, sharper than knives, makes you wonder how the other half dies. Poems as programs changed our lives. Now we know what our words supplies. We drop our words without any reservation, look back later to see total devastation. We were not involved with life's creation, so why do we keep giving the explanation? Worlds overcrowded with metaphorization, curved comparison with little realization. Now the written land is covered with ashes. All that's left is a pile of commas and dashes. Limp lines with severed senses stand guard. Shakespearean sonnets were buried in the backyard. Burnt books, cremated colors, lay defeated. Philosophical poems wept as they retreated. With only two nouns and a verb I wonder about, it was early last week I heard the last rebel poet shout. War started with rejection of poet's word. An explosion in House of Prose was the last thing heard. crushed quill, dried ink left after spill. We all knew how the written word could kill. Then it happened. Laws now say poetry is a crime. I knew it was over when they executed the rhyme. Oh, in.
Was I the only one that could sort of hear a smile in his voice when he was reading there?
Yeah.
Somebody told me he had some fun with this. And I love the title, Poems Last Stand. The Poems Last Stand. I think that's really, really brilliant. Words as weapons sharper than knives. He starts off with stone cold in your face truth in that line. I always say that, you know, somebody slapping you, it heals, but that those words, they scar pretty deep sometimes. We drop our words without any reservation, look back later and see total devastation. I mean, I can't imagine that there's anybody on the planet who hasn't said something in the heat of anger that they wish they didn't say and they know they can't take back, and it haunts them just as much as the person they said it to. So there's a lot of power in here. I think with only two nouns and a verb, I wonder about, was early last week heard last rebel poet shout. I don't know why that part made me giggle. The last rebel poet shout, crushed quill and dried ink left after a spill. We all know how written words can kill. I actually think that this is really, really an awesome piece. And I wish none of us knew how bad words could kill, but it's a flat out fact. And he wrote words as weapons, sharper than knives, makes you wonder how the other half dies in excess. So I think he did a brilliant job with the art and the quote. And although we missed him very much because he couldn't stay, I appreciate the recording and his, no matter what he writes. Thank you so much, Wayne. Linda, please.
Yeah, this was pretty cool. It just took me out of my brain for some reason. But I loved the idea of the poem's last stand. It's like the day the music died. I used to think about what would happen if all the words were used, what would happen, you know, to mankind if we had no more words to use. But that's a different book. But he had some mean verses in this thing, just real clever. So Wayne, really proud of you over this one. You did a great job, so thank you for sharing it.
Fabulous comment. And that leaves the last comment of the night for Mr. David Prophet.
Oh, this was really good. I was really just steamrolled by this poem. I like Wayne's stuff. You know, he's a good friend of mine, and he makes me laugh all the time. But this one was not funny. It was good, and it was powerful. And let's see, what's the one I want to talk about here that really, well, I agree with what you had to say about the words as weapons, Deborah. There, you say something, and you can't take the words back. And once they're heard, that's it. You know, I mean, the person's going to remember that. Just depends on how sharp the words were, you know, whether they forgive you for saying it and it all kind of fades into the background, or whether they hold on to it, you know. And boy, it, oh, I know, here it is. It's the fourth stanza down. Limp lines with severed sentences stand guard. Shakespearean sonnets were buried in the backyard. Burned books and cremated colors lay defeated. Philosophical poems weep as they retreated. This is really good stuff. And, man, I don't know what he was on, but whatever it was, I'd like some of it. This was really good. Way to go. Good job, Wayne.
And you know, I think I figured out what that smile was on his voice at the end. I think that he was fully aware by the time he got, because you know how sometimes when you read your own poem out loud, you get something from it yourself. Because I know he likes to record just so that he can listen to himself read. And I think by the time he finished. Yeah, and I think by the time he finished reading that last stanza, he actually realized how unexpectedly brilliant this was without having to leave us with a giggle at the end or anything. It just flat-out truth with brilliant wording, and I think that he might not admit it, but I think he was pretty proud of himself by the time he was done with that, and that was the smile in his voice. I could be wrong, but that's how I took it, you know?
Yeah, he should have been proud of himself for this because it was a wonderful.
The details, the unexpectedness of it. And, you know, so I think it's fantastic. So we are at that time of the night where I like to tell you all how brilliant you are and remind you that the month of August is a celebration of Sweet Pea and her cow parts, and it's been 2 whole years since the cow part made life easier for our amazing Sweet Pea. So join her tomorrow night at 10 for the fun. And in the meantime, I want to thank my board, Hatter, and Sweet Pea and AP. Running the radio with you guys is a joy. Appreciate you. And I want to thank David and Linda for hanging out all night long. And I want to thank Scott and Steven.
Yeah, you're welcome, Deb.
And WSP and Wayne and Frank and Bill and a raconteur. I always feel like I'm such a lucky person at the end of my show each week because I get to spend time with all of you and learning from each other and sharing and bonding. I mean, and getting to celebrate poetry, it is a beautiful thing, and I feel honored to get to spend it with all of you. And on that note, I am going to push the beautiful song written by Jay Hatter and take us out with that and tell you all that you fill me with love and respect for all of you. I appreciate you very much and have a good night. And I am putting on the board, my topic board for next week so that everyone can take a look and pick your art. The topic next week is the ocean. So pick your art. And you can dazzle me again next week like you do every other week. Love and respect, you guys. Thank you so much.
Good night, Deb.
Good night, Deb.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm waking up.
I believed it was forever, but just a moment of your time, I cannot say, 'cause I want to. Are you telling me?
Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks, Hatter. Great song. Enjoy the rest of your night, all. See you next week. Love and respect.